missed you guys while we were away. It was really odd not coming here for Sunday. It's been over a year of us coming here almost every Sunday, so not being here with you was a strange occurrence. I kept thinking every day was Saturday, the next day was Sunday, the next day was Sunday, and I kept preparing every night for Sunday the next day, and so my shoes got so shiny by the time this Sunday rolled around. This morning, I want to be honest with you, as opposed to most Sundays. No, I'm kidding. I want to be honest with you. I began to write a sermon this week, and it completely went off track. I started chasing a rabbit. You know how sometimes I get in Bible classes, and I'll just go off and end up somewhere completely different? Well, that happened this week, but with the sermon. And my sermon that I ended up with is completely different than the one I began with. So you have to bear with me. But this is a subject that I really enjoy studying and reading about personally. It's not necessarily biblical by its definition, but it is one that fits the Bible very well. And hopefully you'll know what I mean in just a few moments. It's the idea of personality types. I didn't know we had a technical idea for what a personality type really was. I just knew that I was different than everybody else, and everybody else must be wrong because I'm the only sane one in the entire family and the entire world. So that was my assumption for a long time. But when you do a personality profile or a personality test, you figure out what your personality is like, what you are interested in, how you function, and that helps you better identify what kind of person you really are. And there are really no wrong answers. There are no wrong personalities. They're just different flavors, different types of it. And it really goes back to the early 1900s, technically, to talk about a guy named Carl Jung. And he basically made the theory or the thought popular of there being introverts and extroverts. And there are another few breakdowns of personalities beyond that through the very popular personality test, the Briggs-Myers test. But we're only going to have time to talk about the idea of introverts and extroverts this morning as it relates to biblical individuals. And so I began talking about or studying this week about the idea of Jesus when he wanted to be alone and when he wanted to be by himself, when he had time away from the crowds to be with his God in communion and prayer. And it dawned on me that it's very, very likely that in fact Jesus himself was an introvert. And that's somewhat kind of surprising to say and to just put that out there, because we often see him as a people person. He was a person that was around people very often. He was around multitudes and crowds and thousands of people speaking and teaching. So it's difficult to imagine him being someone that was an introvert, but it's very, very likely, given the amount of verses that I have found that find him in soul communion by himself with a small group of apostles in communion with God. So what I want to do basically is just give you a very simple layman's explanation for what I found to be a good working definition for an introvert versus an extrovert without naming any names, which is much more difficult than it sounds like, because you know me, I like picking on people. I shouldn't do that. So here is a very brief working definition of what an introvert is like. The easiest way that I have found to explain it, because I'm personally an introvert, there's a name right there, myself. So I have found that an introvert gets energy, gets confidence, gets moving, what they really like doing by being alone, by being away, by being on vacation or in prayer or in reading. They get their energy, their motion, because they have time to kind of collect themselves alone or with a small, quiet few group of people. That's how an introvert usually functions when it comes to getting their energy to do things. They function in a social atmosphere completely, but they don't get energy from that social interaction. They expend energy from that social interaction. So oftentimes, if you have an entire day full of worship and fellowship and gathering, the next day they're going to feel more tired than more energized. The exact opposite is true of an extrovert. They get energized by being around people and around crowds and by traveling and being out. You normally find people that want to stay in and watch TV or read books being an introvert. People that want to go out and see movies and explore and travel, they're usually extroverts. So we have those two polar opposites of people, and one is not better than the other. We just have folks that fit into different categories. So personally, thinking about myself, it took me a long time to be told this. I thought something was wrong with me, that I liked being by myself. I liked being in a quiet space. I liked reading and watching TV and watching movies. But I really just felt exhausted by going out and being with people all day long. That's because I'm an introvert. And that's how simple it was. So when thinking about people of the Bible, you could go on for quite a while kind of guessing or wondering, is David an introvert or an extrovert? Was Samuel an introvert or an extrovert? Normally, you can kind of make some deductions based on what happens. I think about Elijah, for example. Elijah went out there on Mount Carmel and showed all those people who Jehovah was. And then he got a death threat from Jezebel, and it took him 3 chapters to get over that because he had to be in a dark cave by himself in a little pity party for a while before he got enough gusto to go out there and anoint Elisha. So it's likely that he was probably an introvert because it took a lot of energy to be able to overcome those situations. But I give you that kind of working definition, that kind of bird's eye view of what we're talking about, because there is an overwhelming amount of material about Jesus when he just had to be alone. He just had to get away from it all. And only in the 3 years that we see his working ministry, there are over 9 occasions where he went off by himself and just did his own thing for a while, and then he came back after that time of solitude and prayer to be with the people again to do his ministry. So it's probable that he was more than likely an introvert. So if we look into a few passages together, I want to give you just kind of a working list of verses that kind of cement this thought to kind of give you an idea of what I ran into. Let's look over in Matthew chapter 4. We unfortunately can't read the whole passage, but Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we have a time period here of the temptation of Jesus. But before that temptation took place, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. So this is by no means the only passage that mentions this, but he was out by himself fasting for those 40 days and 40 nights before he was somewhat softened, I suppose, to that temptation to allow him to go through the full gambit of what Satan could throw his way. Now, a second passage that I really just skip over somehow. All these years, I've never noticed this passage. In Luke chapter 6, let's turn there together. In Luke 6, beginning in verse 12, at this time, he already has people around him. He's recruited some of John the Baptist's followers to be his own, because that was the mission of John, was to prepare followers for him, prepare the way of the Lord. But here in Luke, chapter 6, in verse 12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continuing all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So before he anointed or appointed the 12 apostles, I never really picked up on the fact that before that important event, he spent the entire night away from everyone else in prayer on a mountainside with God. And the next morning, when he had kind of gathered himself and got the support he needed from prayer to his Father, that's when he called out the 12 in that very important situation. If we look over in Matthew chapter 14, this is one that's very significant, because in Matthew 14, we learn of the death of John the Baptist. And this apparently had a very severe emotional impact on Jesus. Even knowing where John the Baptist would go after this physical life was over, it still took a lot out of him. And seeing Jesus react to the death of his friend, his forerunner, shows you really how he dealt with grief. If we look over at Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus heard it, talking about the death of John, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. So what did he want to do to deal with his grief of John's death? He wanted to get away for a while. He just wanted to step away from what he was doing, just deal with this by himself in an isolated place. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. So he tries to just get on a boat and get away from it all. The people still try to follow him. So he can't get away for that much longer, this very important time, because of what was going on. If we jump down in our passage here of Matthew chapter 14, and we look in verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So he was trying to deal with all this information going on. He sent his disciples over on this boat. He's trying to dismiss the crowds. And of course, we know in just a few moments, he's going to walk on the sea to his apostles. But first, verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. So again, a second occasion that we find him in a very important moment, dealing with grief, trying to get away, be by himself in prayer to his Father. A kind of parallel to this is over in Mark chapter 6. Let's turn there. Mark chapter 6. Hope you brought your thumbs with you, by the way. I forgot to mention we have a lot of passages to turn to. So if you forgot your thumbs, I'm sorry for you. Just kind of fiddle the best you can. Mark chapter 6. This is the same context, the same information, but from a different perspective, from Mark instead of Matthew. So Mark 6, and if we look over in 30, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So they went on what we call the limited commission. They were sent out after the death of John to go and preach the good news of Jesus Christ before his death to just the Jews. Not to take any kind of baggage with them, any kind of cloak with them, just to go out, rely on the people to care for them as they were kind of missionaries, and then to come back after a short time to report what they did. Did just that in verse 30. And then verse 31, remember, they just went out to the people, they lived off the generosity of the people, and now they had come back from being these missionaries. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. I love that. I love that Jesus recognized the fact that by them going out and preaching the gospel in that kind of way, it would be good for them to get away from the crowds for a while, to get that energy back up, and to rest at a deserted place, a location where the people would not be. They could go back out with that same energy that they had before. We look over in the book of Mark, but looking back into chapter 1 now, this is probably the most well-known passage for him being off by himself. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. It says, after he had performed miracles of healing people of illnesses and casting out demons, it seems like he was just exhausted. He was just spent. So in verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And all his people went out looking for him because they didn't know where he was, right? So when they say, everyone's looking for you, come back to town, he says, no, we have to move on. We have more work to accomplish, essentially, in that text. So a lot of verses so far, we see Jesus here in this three-year time span, and he's off by himself, praying to God, away from the people. This is an overwhelming amount of passages here, if you link them all together, that show us that more than likely, he got his energy up, not from being among the people, but from being off in prayer by himself. And that would make sense if, in fact, he was what we would call an introvert. If we look over in Luke chapter 5 as well, Luke chapter 5, look in Luke 5, we'll look over in verse 15 to get more of a context. Luke 5, 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he heals someone, says, don't tell anybody else. He didn't do that. All the people are now like flocking to him to get healed, to hear him teach. Verse 16, what's his reaction? So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So when things got too crazy, too chaotic with the people, he would just go off by himself in prayer to God. Very important dynamic to see how Jesus dealt with that kind of social pressure in that day and age. If we look over at Matthew chapter 17, this one's a bit different. Matthew 17 is not him going off by himself to pray or encouraging his apostles to do so. Often he would just take three of his apostles with him when he would go off. He would go off and do something and just take his inner circle, we would call them in this day and age. We have John, James, and then you have Peter that would often go with him off in these secluded locations. So in Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them," right? So the great transfiguration was actually beginning with him going off with his closest friends to go pray on a mountainside. That apparently was his custom, or what he would often do. And then, of course, the most well-known time that he would go off by himself with this close group of friends is in Gethsemane. The time before his betrayal, before his arrest, before his trial, he took Peter, James, and John with him to a garden, set them down, and went about a stone's throw, and then he prayed to God 3 times to let this cup of suffering pass from him, because he needed to get his energy up, if you will, just to make it through the agony of what he was about to go through for our sins. So, looking at all these verses, back to back to back to back, I found this list of just amazing times that Jesus had to get away and go be by himself, and everything told me this guy was more than likely an introvert. I can't explain why, just like I can't explain why I'm an introvert, but it's something that you pick up on in the text and you make an application and you notice it. So, what's the application? What's the point? Why did I want to share this with you this morning? Well, the reason why I wanted to share it was there is a very definite reason that we're given these little glimpses into the personal solitude that Jesus had to have to make it through his 3-year ministry. It's because some of us need to have times, if we're introverts, where we just get away. Some people love just being out among the people, doing the work and doing the thing that they do, and they get charged by that, and sitting down and reading is not their cup of tea at all, but getting out there and doing things is. And they should use that personality type for the glory of God. But introverts, we're not being shortchanged. We can do a great work as well. We just function a little bit differently, right? Let's look over in the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 is not in a context that's specifically talking about miraculous gifts of the first century. And that's important because Romans 12 talks about how we're all given different gifts. We're given different abilities, different things that we are to do in the body, but it's not miraculous. So that applies to you, it applies to me, even to this century today. Romans chapter 12, beginning reading in verse 4, For as many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So just like our physical bodies have different parts and different functions, and some things do better things than other. I can pick up things with my hand, but not my foot, for example. So you see how we have different functions for our body parts. The same thing is true for the body of Christ, the church. We all have a role to play, but it's not all the same role, right? So looking on to verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." So if you're someone that's good at relaying the word of God to the church, that's what you are to do. Verse 7, "Or in ministry or service, let us use it in our ministering." So if you're a good servant person, like Martha, for example, then you use your service to glorify God and help bolster the church. "He who is a teacher in teaching." Verse 8, he who exhorts in exhortation. There are people that are really good at encouraging you, and they should use that encouragement to help us get to heaven together. He who gives with liberality. So if you're someone who has material wealth and you want to use that wealth to the benefit of the church. He who leads, lead with diligence. And he who shows mercy, be mercy with cheerfulness. So we all have different personalities. We all have different abilities, things that we are designed to do by God. We're to use those gifts then to glorify him, and using our personality types to bring glory unto his name. Now, I've picked on introverts a whole lot in this sermon because I could pick on myself pretty easy. And we've talked about a lot of verses about how Jesus, he was out there among the people, but after a while with the people, letting his energy drain, if you will, he needed time to go and recharge himself in the wilderness by himself in prayer to God. Who is the exact opposite of that kind of personality type? Well, only one man came to mind. If you think about the Apostle Paul, there is no way that guy was an introvert. If you think about the work that he did, the travels that he did, how he was constantly surrounded by people, if not large groups, this guy was the definition of an extrovert, and God knew that, no doubt, and he sent him to the entire Gentile world to spread the gospel. When you see Paul, I can only think of two occasions where I've ever, or three, that he's ever been alone in Scripture. He was in Arabia for some time after his conversion, learning more about the word from Jesus. He was under house arrest in Rome once, if not twice, which, by the way, must have killed an extrovert to be in lockdown mode in a house. Nothing to do but write the New Testament for us, right? And then we have in Acts chapter 17 when he went to Athens by himself from persecution. And when he went to Athens, he didn't stay by himself. He went to Mars Hill and preached the gospel to all the Athenians that were there. So Paul is the exact opposite personality type, in my opinion, as far as I can tell, than an introvert. Because he was always with his traveling companions, always with the people, always with the church. He was energized by being out there and being a great evangelist. And that's kind of the lesson, I think, for me, being a preacher. It was not outright said, but it was somehow implied, at least in my mind, that to be a successful gospel preacher, you had to be a dynamic extrovert. You had to be able to walk into a room and it light up because of your presence. And you had to be able to be comfortable and talking to absolutely everyone and being like what we would think of as like a politician. And that's not my personality type. I'm usually a bit more quiet, except when I'm up here and you guys can't talk back at me. And I'm usually able to recharge myself by being in the office and reading and studying and so on. But it doesn't excuse anyone from the work that we all have to do. So the application for myself personally is, although I may be an introvert, I can still do my work well. It doesn't excuse me from going out to be among the people and so on. And so forth, as well as it does not excuse an extrovert from putting in the time of study to be a good preacher. So there are two different types of preachers I found. You have those who make really great evangelists because they love being around the people. They're always out. They're always in conversations. And you have people that are more, I guess, student-oriented preachers. They're good presenters of the word. They enjoy studying, but they struggle with the communication that just drains them of the energy. So the key is balance, right? We have to be able to do both as ministers of the gospel. And for Christians of any profession, no matter what your personality type is, there's something that you can do to bring glory to God and to work in the church. You have a function, you have a role to play in the body. You just have to identify what you're strong at, what you're good at, and then get to work. That's the key, I think, when it comes to this. So again, this is kind of a personal hobby of mine. I like learning more about personality types and seeing how people function, how they think, what they're strong at, what they struggle at, and then to work to bring balance to those things. And I think it fits quite well when just examining biblical people, how their personalities might have functioned using our terminology that we have today. So hopefully this study was helpful for you to kind of see a different perspective on the Jesus that we so appreciate and so love for his sacrifice. We see he may have struggled with the idea of being out among the people for long periods of time. He died for our sins, but he needed that time away to be encouraged by prayer alone with his Father, just like all of us sometimes need to get away and have that prayer time with our Father in heaven as well. So if anyone this morning does have a need to come forward for the invitation, you are struggling to find where you fit in the body, you're not sure of your purpose or your role or what work you can do to contribute, we'd love to help you. We'd love to help to show you what you can do to make this congregation as strong as it can be and help the church universal grow as the body of Christ. If anyone does have a need this morning, please come forward now. Stand and we sing.